Welcome to The Mindful Dog Parent, the podcast for overwhelmed and anxious dog owners who are doing their best but still feel like they're getting it all wrong. I'm Sian, a trauma-informed coach and ethical dog trainer. I created this podcast because dog parenting isn't always cute reels and perfect walks. Sometimes it's tears after training, guilt in the quiet moments, or just feeling like you're the only one struggling. If you've ever said, I love my dog, but this is really hard, you're in the right place. Each week, I'll bring you calm, compassionate guidance to help you build confidence, regulate your emotions, and reconnect with your dog, even when things feel messy. Because you're not failing, you're just overwhelmed, and you don't have to figure this out on your own. Today's episode is one of those really personal ones, because I know what it's like to feel like your dog's behaviour is somehow about you. You know those moments where you ask them to come back but they're running the opposite direction, you've tried everything to calm them down but it's like they're ignoring you, and they bark, they pull, they lunge, and suddenly your mind starts to spiral. You start to ask yourself, why won't you listen to me? What am I doing wrong? Why does it feel like you are trying to make my life harder? It's that hot, tight feeling in your chest, the one that says this feels personal, even when your logical brain knows that it's not. Let's talk about that one today, because this is such a common, one of the most common and least spoken about emotional loops that dog parents fall into with their dogs. And I have fallen into this as well. So let's name what's happening with this particular mindset that we're in with this. When your dog's behaviour is triggering you emotionally and you start to internalise that, it's called personalisation. When you start believing my dog's doing this to me, so those words to me specifically, if I were better, calmer, more loving, more experienced, this wouldn't be happening, or this must mean that I'm failing. They're all things that link back to personalization. But here is the thing, personalization doesn't just come out of nowhere. It usually comes from places of past experiences where you've been blamed for something that's gone wrong, and that can be once, it can be multiple times. It can come from patterns of people-pleasing and perfectionism. That's me. Living in a world that constantly tells dog parents what they should be doing. Again, that's very prevalent in today's world. And feeling watched or judged when things go wrong in public. Because when it is something more public, it feels more embarrassing. You feel like people are watching you and judging you and all those things. So when we're already carrying emotional pressure, even the subconscious stuff that we don't even know is even there. So burnout is a really good example of that. So listen to episode 5 of the podcast to learn more about burnout, because I didn't know I was in it, and Amber, my guest expert, didn't know she was in it when she was going through burnout. So you might not know it and you're going through it yourself too. Even with all those emotional pressures, stuff that you know about, stuff that your unconscious kind of mind is aware of but you're not consciously aware of it, our dog's behaviour can feel like it is pushing every single button that we have. And that is not your fault, but it is something that you can shift. So let's zoom out for a moment. We've kind of gone really inward on this one and kind of know exactly what it is that we're kind of struggling with this one. But when we zoom out, when your dog's not listening, when they're barking, whether they're reacting, pulling, running off, whatever it is, what's actually happening? They're not calculating how to upset you, however much it feels like they are. They're not calculating a way of trying to upset you in any way. They're not thinking, let's make this walk an absolute nightmare today. I just fancy making it a nightmare. They are reacting based on what their nervous system is experiencing. So that could be overstimulation, fear, frustration, excitement that's tipped into chaos. So a dog that started off in an excited kind of state it can escalate, and then it can lead to the overstimulation kind of things that go on the longer they're in that situation. And when your dog is in this state, they're not being disobedient, they are dysregulated. So when we're stressed, we can get a little bit gnarly, we can start to get snappy, and we can start to have lower tolerance of things and have our buttons pushed, all the things like that. We're then in a dysregulated state. Therefore, we potentially don't do things the way we would normally do them. We wouldn't respond into situations or people or whatever it is in a way that we would normally respond to it, because our nervous system is dysregulated. And that is exactly the same for our dogs. It doesn't mean you just give up and say, well, I'm just going to let them carry on doing what they're doing here. It does mean instead that your approach just needs to be grounded in compassion and strategy, and not in self-blame. So rather than falling into those patterns of thinking, I'm not good enough, this is, why are you doing this to me? This is just a situation that I can't cope with, therefore I'm just giving up. If your dog is struggling to listen or respond, it is a sign that they need more support. Whether that's through that fear that they've got and they need somebody to just reassure them, or whether it's that overstimulation or the overexcitement that's spilled into chaos, they need somebody to help them to come back to a regulated place again. It doesn't mean that they're out to get you. I know that it can feel like that, but I promise that is not what's happening. So I remember a time, and this is going back quite a few years now, when Bonnie, so I'm talking about Bonnie this time rather than Maisie, Bonnie was a lot younger. She was quite poorly when we first bought her home from adoption. So we adopted her from the Dogs Trust in Loughborough, and she was very poorly. We went to meet her, and then just after we met her, she had kennel cough, which then developed into pneumonia, which then developed into meningitis. So she had all these things, and it was steroid responsive meningitis, thankfully. So when we first bought her home, she was quite subdued. She was much better than she was, but she was still on steroids and she was feeling poorly and she was underweight. So this is a dog who has come into a new home. She doesn't know us. She's not feeling very well, and she needs to have that settling in period. So when we started to take her out on walks, she initially stopped and she was very hesitant on her walks. I don't think she'd ever lived in a home. I don't think she really ever knew what it was like to live in a house or be walked by anybody in, like, on a lead. So she used to stop quite often. After a little bit of time, and this is me going back in time and not knowing the things that I know now, she needed help. She was stopping because she was saying, I feel really unsure about this situation. I just don't know what to do. And we maybe pushed her beyond, well, we did push her beyond what she was able to cope with on her walks. This was walking around our village. And it's one of those things where we say, well, we're just walking around the village and that's what it is to us. But to her, it was a lot. It was just too much. So she kind of flipped and went the other way. So she then started to get really, really pully. And the pulling can be from anxiety as well. So it's not because she got just so confident all of a sudden. There was always this underlying level of worry and anxiety there from her. So I'm remembering this time when we went out on a walk and she barked at another dog completely unexpectedly. So if you kind of, that's why the context is important there with telling you that little story. She completely unexpectedly started to bark at another dog. And just like with Maisie, because I still didn't know what I know now at this point, this is when Bonnie was one and she's nearly 11 now, I just froze, because that was my default response. When I don't know what I'm doing in a situation that's quite stressful and embarrassing and feeding all of these feelings that I've got that we've spoken about in previous episodes, I freeze. My heart was racing, I was mortified, and I felt like everybody was staring, because she was the one that started to bark and get a reaction. It makes people turn around and think, what's happening? So everybody started, it felt like everybody had started staring. And my first thought was, why are you doing this to me? Why, what is happening right now? What, and those words, why are you doing this to me? are big signals that this is personalization. But now I look back on it, that moment had nothing to do with me. Bonnie wasn't there trying to embarrass me. She wasn't going, oh, I'm just going to bark and embarrass Mum on my walk. She was overwhelmed, and thinking back through her history, she'd had a difficult life up to that point, and I didn't know what I know now, so I didn't give her the right things to support her in those early months, and that was the situation that it led to. She felt overwhelmed. And once I'd come back down from that emotional spiral and I looked at the situation properly, because in the moment you are kind of thinking all these things in a spiral negative mindset, I noticed that I realised I'd not looked and noticed any tension in her body. So I wasn't reading her body language at that point. I'd walked us into a space that was too close. So in this situation with the other dog, I was too close to that other dog. And I'd assumed calm rather than checking for it. So when, because she'd not stopped on her walks for a while. Hey, quick pause. If walks with your dog feel more chaotic than calm right now, or if you're feeling emotionally drained from trying to do it all, I want you to know something's coming soon that might just be exactly what you need. At the end of September, I'm running a free 4-day challenge designed to help overwhelmed dog parents like you reset, reconnect, and find a bit of calm again, both in yourself and in your relationship with your dog. I'll share more details really soon, but if that little spark of hope just lit up in you, make sure you're following the podcast and keep an eye on your emails, because calm isn't out of reach. It just starts with connection, and I really can't wait to show you how. Now, back to today's episode. And she started to get pulling. We thought, oh, she's confident now. And the pulling it wasn't massively excessive by this point. She was just starting to get a little bit more pulley at certain points on the walk. So I just assumed she was calm because there was nothing apart from that one situation, that reaction, that had been an obvious enough signal for me, not knowing what I know now, that said she was stressed. But when I look back, there were plenty of signals that I missed. So this isn't about blame. It was about noticing her, that her reaction was a response to her world and not a reflection of my worth. So me internalising it and saying, why are you doing this to me? I'm not good enough, etc. It needs to be reframed, because it was a response to that situation that we were both in and not a reflection of me being a good or bad dog mum in that moment. So here's what I want to offer you. I want you to think about this phrase, and I want you to take it away and make it your own, because when you take someone else's words, it doesn't sit always as well as if you made something your own and used words that you would use. But I want you to kind of keep the message the same. My dog's behaviour is not about me, but how I respond can change everything. So we're removing that personalization here. We're saying my dog's behavior and me aren't one and the same. My dog's behavior doesn't define me. My dog's behavior is not about me, but how I respond can change everything. Because once I'd learned with Bonnie what all these things were, so what was her body language signals, what were the triggers, how far away we needed to be, once I'd understood all that stuff, I knew I could help her. So I want to let that settle with you and to think about how you would word it. You are not at the mercy of your dog's every action, but you're allowed to have feelings about it. This isn't trying to remove the guilt and to remove the embarrassment and to remove the shame. They're all valid feelings to have in those situations. This is the key, is to validate your reaction without believing every thought it brings up. So you're allowed to have those feelings, more than allowed to have those feelings, but I don't want that loop of negative thoughts to spiral and start to impact how you feel about yourself and all the things. So hopefully you can see where I'm kind of going with this. So instead of spiraling into they don't respect me, everyone must think I'm a terrible dog parent, I'm messing this all up completely and I'm ruining my dog and I'm breaking my dog, I want you to instead try and gently say, that was hard, I feel activated, or whatever word you need to fill in there, but it doesn't mean I have failed. This moment is a reflection of dysregulation, not of me as a person. So this moment doesn't define you. Your dog's behaviour doesn't define you. Your dog's reaction in a particular scenario doesn't define you. It's a reflection of dysregulation. So your dog needs help. You need help in that situation, in whatever capacity that looks, because it could be for anything. It doesn't have to be in a situation with your dog. You can feel these things outside of the world with your dog as well. Work can be a big trigger of some of these things. But it doesn't define you as a person. It is that you are dysregulated and or your dog is also. And when you can do that, even when it's not perfect, because perfection does not exist, you interrupt the spiral. So you're reframing it and you're creating a little bit of space. And in that space, calm and connection becomes possible again. So you're breaking that cycle that you're currently stuck in. You're interrupting that negative thought. You're accepting that you're feeling the way that you feel, because yes, in that moment, for me with Bonnie, I totally was embarrassed and I felt like I needed to get out of there ASAP because I felt judged. And that's okay. I felt those things because they're very valid things to feel in that situation. But I need to interrupt that thought process so that it's not starting to have that internal reflection, that personalization, and starting to impact me on a greater level, on a bigger level than just that scenario reflecting a dysregulated dog or a dysregulated person. So I have a gentle challenge for you for this week. So I like to leave you with little things to go and take away that I hope are really helpful. I've heard lots of positive feedback on things that clients have kind of said it's resonated with them. So that's really, really good to hear. I really hope it's helping you as well. So I want you to try doing something this week. I want you to notice the moments when your dog's behaviour has triggered something in you. So it could be the guilt, the shame, the what must people think voice in your head. But I really want you to notice what's triggering, what the feeling is, and what about your dog's behaviour has triggered it. And instead of jumping straight into self-blame, I want you to just pause and ask yourself, what story am I telling myself about this moment? What might actually be going on for my dog? And what would I say to a friend feeling this way? So those are three things. And I've mentioned that one before, what would I say to a friend feeling that way? Because it's really, really relevant to lots of situations where we start to tell ourselves things, because we are so much harder on ourselves than we are of a friend. So if your friend was sat opposite you telling you this situation has just happened, what would you say to them? I would hope you would have kindness and you would be supportive, and I want you to have that for yourself as well. So instead of jumping straight into self-blame, I'll repeat it again, I want you to pause. So think about what it is about your dog's behaviour that's triggered you and what the feeling is. Instead of jumping into that spiral thought, interrupt it, accept what that feeling is, and ask yourself those questions. What story am I telling myself about this moment? So what's the narrative? What is the story that my brain's feeding me right now based on the fact that I'm feeling guilt, shame, anxiety, whatever the feeling is? What might actually be going on for my dog? So understanding their body language, what their kind of signals are giving off, and if you're not sure what the signals are, there are lots of things that you can find to tell you about dog's body language. But you can send me a DM and I'm happy to help you as well. So if you've got a little video or something like that that you took in a situation that warranted the video, happy to watch that and give you some tips on what your dog's body language might have been. And what would I say to a friend feeling this way? Because you are going to be much kinder to a friend than you are to yourself, speaking from experience. If you do that, even just once this week, you are already building awareness, and awareness is the first step towards change. Now, this is me talking from a lot of experience of this. There were lots of things going on for me before I joined therapy that I was not aware of, that I had no idea of. Burnout's one of those things, but also lots of other stuff. And I, until I started to understand and pick, like we are here, apart what's actually happening, I just had no idea. So that awareness piece is the first step, genuinely the first step towards change. Once you have the awareness, it's very hard not to have that awareness anymore. You kind of, you understand, and then you forever have that awareness of lots of different situations. So I really want you to do that little challenge. If you want to listen back to it again, write down questions, think about what your narrative is in your own mind and what you're telling yourself, and try and break that pattern. And I will highlight this again, because it's not about stamping down those feelings and saying, well, I'm not allowed to feel guilty, because you are allowed to feel guilty. It's not about shutting the feelings down. It's just about having that awareness of what the feelings are, what's triggered it, and trying to interrupt any further negative thoughts from kind of manifesting from that, and feeding how you feel about yourself. So if this episode's landed with you, if you've been stuck in that personalization spiral and you want to feel more connected and calm and confident with your dog, I have my free download, Practical Strategies for Overwhelmed Dog Parents. I'll put it in the show notes as always. It's also available on the website, which I'll also put a link to in the show notes. It's got lots of practical, gentle tools that can help you reset emotionally. It can help you reconnect with your dog on a very low level and just start to build that kind of bond that doesn't depend on perfection, because it's never going to happen. If you're aiming for perfection, it just won't happen. And as always, hit follow or subscribe so that you don't miss next week's episode. So my little sign off, as I like to give some little final thoughts at the end of the episode, is that you're not a bad dog parent. You are thoughtful. You're a loving human doing your best right now. And your dog's behaviour is not a reflection of your worth. So thanks so much for being here. I shall see you next time on The Mindful Dog Parent. Thanks so much for tuning in to The Mindful Dog Parent. If this episode gave you something to think about, or it just made you feel a little less alone, I would love it if you followed the show and shared it with another dog parent who needs it. You'll find all the links and resources mentioned in the show notes at lavendergardenanimalservices.co.uk/podcast. And I would love to stay in touch, so head there if you want to explore more ways to work with me or get support.